Hassan, and I'm joined by my regular discoursers, Travis Hudson.
Ahoy hoy.
And Andrew Riley.
Hi.
And Andrew, I hear you have a topic for us to discuss tonight.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about movies. One of the most recent, that's disappointing, one of the most recent articles I wrote for the website was about my experiences of going to see Tenet in the movie theaters.
And oh, since about Oppenheimer?
This was in 2021, right?
It was 2020 still?
2020? I don't know.
It's been a little while. Movie. It was a COVID movie, right. So the fact was the movie theaters had shut down for COVID and things were coming back. People were maybe going. It was a mess. I've gone to a few movies since then, but my movie viewing has been way down. I think everybody's has, and the box office has shown it. But we have seen a lot of the life in the box office this year. For example, the Super Mario Brothers has made $1.3 billion worldwide. That's a lot of money. Yahoo. So clearly people are going to the theaters, right?
Twice, some of us.
Apparently, yeah. You guys saw it. I went to the movies yesterday, and I went to go see Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse.
Good movie. Yeah.
It has pulled in $611 million. It's been out since June 2nd, so I came to it late. So these movies are doing fine. But they're not the only ones coming out. We've had a lot of very high-profile movies, and a lot of them have been not doing so well. You know, this weekend, 4th of July weekend, we had Indiana Jones open up. There was one source, The Hollywood Reporter, called it a troubled start. It's pulled in $130 million as of now, which is not terrible money, but they put so much into the budget on this thing that it's still doing quite poorly. They don't expect it to necessarily do all that well. But at the same time, there's a lot of conflict. It's dials in a win. It's bombing in China. I don't know how to feel about how Indiana Jones is doing, and I don't know how to feel about how the theaters are doing in this moment. We have always had a boom and bust cycle in movies. Your successes make all the money and you take a couple of losses along the way, maybe a lot of losses. Disney owns so much of the market share right now that the environment, the competitive environment, is completely different than it was a couple of years ago. Obviously, COVID changed everything. We have such high-powered home theaters. The environment of movies is completely different. And that's something that I wanted to talk about because it's going to affect how movies are being done in the future. I've heard people saying it's only going to be tentpole movies. I can't even get people to define what that actually means to them.
Disney's been struggling too.
I know, honestly. But I'm because joking, like, that's the tentpole movies. But actually, that's not right. That's just a joke.
I mean, I'll throw. I know you're claiming you were just joking, but I'll throw a couple more things. I think Pixar recently had like their lowest opening grossing movie with Elemental.
That movie was terrible.
Disney movie, $187 million. It's good money, but they spent $200 million plus to make it. And in order to make a profitable movie, you need like 2.5 times that. That's before you get to marketing. So they need this movie to be in the $800 million range before they're making any money. It ain't getting there, guys.
I guess an animated movie still costs as much as like blowing actual stuff up.
Right? Well, I mean, if you get some big name actors and obviously the computers, they read a lot of electricity, but similarly, we had another.
Before that was Buzzier.
Buzzier. Lightyear.
Lightyear, sorry.
Buzz Lightyear.
Whatever, you know.
That didn't do well in a lot of countries, particularly.
And Disney just a couple days ago they laid off like a whole crap load of their ESPN personnel. So I don't know if you guys heard about that or not.
I hadn't heard about that.
Oh, right. You said of their ESPN personnel?
Yeah, like Van Gundy released. Yeah, Susie Colbert.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to think of. Yeah, she got. Okay, well, and I don't know if Andrew saw me. I kind of pulled a face when you mentioned about specifically Indiana Jones not doing well in China. And I was like, is Indiana Jones really like a movie that's supposed to do well in China? But it's kind of like...
You need to do well in China, though.
Yeah, I understand the global economics means you have to do well in China, otherwise you're not going to make money.
So. If you're spending that much on it, you can make a movie that you don't show in China and make a ton of money. But you can't spend $600 million on it.
But I'm just thinking like... Content-wise, like, do they really expect nowadays, especially like a movie like Indiana Jones, to do well there? That it just seems like Indiana Jones is so quintessentially kind of American. do you really expect it to be able to do business? And like, wouldn't you bake that into your business plan of like, should we even make another Indiana Jones movie? I'm thinking of movies that like do well now. Like my classic example of movies that do well nowadays is the Fast and Furious series, right? And like the...
So we have a Fast 10 that came out this year. It made $699 million, which is pretty darn good. It's third best for the year. But not because it's a good movie. Critics, per Rotten Tomatoes ratings, are giving it a 56, which is pretty bad. But like, the Fast series has always been like that, right?
Well, the Fast series has always been like that. And like one of the hallmarks that I understand about the Fast series is like it's this whole like diversity. Like it has something that like anybody can kind of glom onto in any way, shape, or form type of thing, right?
Plus explosions.
So, yeah, plus you combine that with explosions, like you're golden. This year? I'm confusing what happened this year and probably last year. Was Top Gun last year?
Top Gun was last year.
Okay. And has there been a Mission Impossible this year?
It's just coming out and it's going to be huge, apparently.
Okay.
And Top Gun probably didn't do well in China, I'm guessing, because there's that whole kerfuffle over his patch on his leather jacket or something like that.
Well, again, Top Gun seems like a very quintessential American movie to me, right? I mean, it's about the freaking Air Force. Like, I personally would not expect that to do well outside of America. Like, it's basically an American military oorah movie. I know that's Marines, not Air Force. But
I mean, luckily they carried on the proud tradition of, like, going to great pains to not name the enemy country, which is always a little bit funny.
It doesn't have the built-in, like... And I know this movie didn't do well probably anywhere besides the three of us, maybe, but Starship Troopers, you have the built in like aliens. All right. I guess Independence Day. We're right around Independence Day now. Like that, you know, that's, I can see that doing well because like, yeah, sure. That's all about America and stuff like that. Like, but
everybody likes to see the White House get blown up.
Everybody likes to see the White House getting blown up. I mean, everybody likes to see Congress get blown up in Mars attacks, but like, also, like, there's a common, like, you know, you throw in aliens, like, okay, well, like, we'll throw in the hope of, like, that's going to be what unites the entire world is aliens, finally, right? Like,
I saw a tweet, like, it was talking about how, like, wonderfully, like, sappy 90s, like, Independence Day is in terms of, like, you know, there's, like, a
black man and a Jewish guy save the world from aliens.
Yeah, right? it's totally, like, got, like, all the kind of, I don't know what you want to call it, but yeah, like I guess it's kind of the Fast and Furious thing, right? Like they've got like all the different types of people, a lot of them conforming to stereotypes, and it just kind of all works. You've got like the redneck who, you know, saves the day at the very end. You've got Will Smith, the cocky fighter pilot, and you've got like the Jewish nerd with his Macintosh and everything, and like it all kind of works, and no one gets kind of but at the end it's like, you know, Russia and Japan and like Israel are all working together, and obviously they're all waiting for America to take the lead as like the, you know, and it's just kind of like almost naively sappy, and it's just kind
of great.
The
end of history meets alien invasion.
Yeah,
Francis Fukuyama loves it.
Yeah,
because well, and Paul's the Trekkie here. Like, whenever they talk about Earth, is it like, is Earthia ever divided anymore at that point, or is it like you're united as one Earth?
Well, so
I don't want to yeah, take us down a rabbit hole, but
it's
real
so
quick.
It's interesting. Well, so this might tie in a little bit because, like, obviously Gene Roddenberry's original vision was that, like, in the future we all get along, and it's a perfect, and like, you know, we don't have money anymore, and there's no conflict amongst like the bridge officers of the starship and on Earth. Like, we all just agree on everything, and the only conflict can come externally. And that has gradually over time changed. And Deep Space Nine very notably had, like, there was a terrorist as one of the main characters. And there was, like, you know, clear conflict on Earth and everything. And a lot of the Star Trek series now have, like, all this, like, you know, it's very much darker. And it's a very much less optimistic vision of the future. And I wonder if some of this can go about explaining maybe our current moment a little bit. Like, there's a common refrain of, like, go woke, go broke, and I think that's widely overstated, and I don't think it comes close to explaining like a percentage or a fraction of what's going on. But I do think there is a certain amount of like out of touch culture that Hollywood's going through. Like, they don't, it's kind of like the Bud Light thing that we've talked about offline a little bit, like a lack of understanding of what audience audiences want, and instead trying to force upon audiences what the producers think that they want.
That is actually fundamental to the question that I'm trying to get at here, which is that what
we haven't even got to your question.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think we kept talking over Andrew's
actual point. No, that's fine. This is great. This is all good stuff. The question I do want to ask is related to that, though, is like, what is the through line to what is working? Like, Super Mario, that doesn't make any sense. Like, of course, Mario is like the biggest brand.
I was going to say, Mario is because he's like, he almost surpassed Mickey Mouse, I think, at one point in being brand recognized, I think, across the world.
We talked about why Fast and Furious is so successful. Guardians of the Galaxy is another one that won pretty big this session. You know, it's a continuation. It's Marvel. Yeah. It's been so long since 2 came out and 2 was popular and 3 was like, well, it's never going to happen. Then James Gunn gets reassigned and people are excited to have it happening again.
And it has and then you have
the flops like Elemental that we discussed. Some other flops that I have listed here would be like Renfield. Flopped horribly in Nick Cage vehicle.
I forgot that came out.
Yeah, it's very easy to forget. I thought it looked fun, but I haven't seen it, right? I'm not one of the people that gave money to the $26 million box office total it has. Came out this past week, has grossed $14 million, is unlikely to get much more than this, is Ruby Gilman, Teenage Kraken. Have you even heard of this one? I have, because a trailer was showing for it in front of a movie I went to go see in the theaters. It's the only reason I know this movie exists, though.
It was in front of Mario Brothers, yeah, like, or at least for one of the times I saw it.
Yeah, I saw it in front of Satsume, which has done well, but this is a 2022 release originally, so it doesn't get to count.
I mean,
it didn't make much money in the U.S. either.
The Kraken movie you're talking about was one of those, for me, it looks terrible. It's not made for me.
Right. I could, if you told me it was going to be successful and that, you know, third grade girls were going to love it, I mean, yeah, it makes sense. It looks exactly like How to Train Your Dragons, because it's How to Train Your Dragons with Kraken.
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem, is like, it looks like something we've seen before, but like, the generation it's designed for has not seen that, like, it's type of thing. So, yeah, I don't know. It's hard to judge what's going to hit, because would you have said Frozen would hit as hard as it hit?
In retrospect,
yes, because you can see like kind of how it bent some of the typical Disney tropes and stuff like that, but if you just saw the trailer for Frozen, you'd probably be like, all right, yeah, fine, another singing Disney movie, all right?
I think the through line of what makes a successful movie is fairly obvious. It's Chris Pratt. He was the voice of Mario. He was Star-Lord in Guardians of the Galaxy. The Jurassic World series was huge. Like pretty much everything he has been in has inexplicably, in some cases, turned to gold.
And like, there was a blowback against him for doing Mario, and like, didn't matter.
It did not matter in the least.
I wonder 1.3
billion didn't matter.
I wonder if it's just like as simple as a couple of years ago, all of the major like studios said, hey, you know what? We're going to create our own streaming platform and we're going to plow a whole crap ton of money into producing content and, you know, just specifically designed around like stuff that the old nostalgic stuff, right? Like a Saved by the Bell reboot. Like bringing back a whole bunch of Star Trek series, like Star Trek Picard and everything. And I wonder if, like to your point about home theaters and everything, like can we just get just as much entertainment sitting at home streaming all this copious amounts of content? Like there's Disney Plus MCU shows and everything. Like anything that you would previously have gone to a theater to see, you can watch at home now. Mandalorian if you want your Star Wars fix, you know?
You rightfully called us the olds. I mean, like you think about, like my kids are not quite old enough to be watching everything on their phones, but they watch like everything, like they watch Mr. Beast and stuff on their laptops. Like, I don't know if the younger generation cares to see something in a huge dark room with a bunch of strangers. Like,
I'm not convinced on that because
not convinced which way that
they don't want it. That the experience of being in the theater is somehow still transformative. I mentioned that I went to go see Spider-Verse, Across the Spider-Verse. I went with two of my daughters, my youngest and my oldest. And they're both old enough now that going to the movies is, you know, a very sane kind of thing. I don't have to worry about kids running around, although the 10-year-old, the younger one, was fairly noisy at various points. And being in the theater changed the experience for them. Before we went to go see Across the Spider-Verse, we rewatched the first one on the big screen TV. Into the Spider-Verse on the big screen TV in my basement. And it was a good time. But you know what? We had some technical glitches. the thing didn't work right. I had to restart it and stream it from the thing. I had to, and it wasn't a seamless experience. Even if it was on a fairly big screen with a good sound system and it looks great, it has a little glitch here. We have momentary lapses in our home systems that you're not going to have in the theater. And the theater is definitely immersive, unless you have to get up, like my oldest daughter did, to go to the bathroom. But they were both very heavily engrossed. And it's not just because the movie was very engrossing. I do want to talk about that in a second. The movie is fantastic. Have you guys seen it, though? Let me ask that. Have you seen Across the Spider-Verse?
Yes, and nodding. I think it's funny that you mentioned, you used the term glitch specifically around the movie, because so much of the movie revolves around people glitching, kind of like Penelope Von Sweets.
Oh, yeah, and I'm not going to get into too many spoilers on the movie, but go ahead, Travis. Sorry.
I realized that we're on audio, and I was shaking my head, so no, I haven't seen it. But to be fair...
Have you not seen the first one, even?
No, I did. We watched the first one together.
I think we watched the first one together. To be fair, yeah, my kids actually watched the first one before I did with their babysitter. And I was like, what the hell? I wanted to watch this movie. All right. I think that's what I told you guys. Like, all right, I need an excuse to watch this movie. We're gonna watch this together.
First one is so good. I think it might be my favorite Spider-Man movie.
And I think we've already disrupted maybe whatever the immediate point was. But I was going to say, like, I will agree. Watching certain movies in a theater is more transformative than watching it at home, right? Like, since I don't watch many movies in the theaters anymore, and I fell off watching horror movies pretty hard, and I think there's other factors in my life and my season of life and everything like that I don't watch as many horror movies. But one of the big things is, like, not watching them in theaters.
Absolutely.
Like, that is a prime genre of movie that is elevated by watching it with other people in a dark room.
You get the reaction, and the reaction is visceral.
And it's not even just like other people, like, because I could still get my wife to, like, watch something, or, like, you know, we could watch something like that, but it's something with, like, particularly like with strangers, kind of like with strangers, like people you don't know, and like in a crowd type of situation, for particularly something like that, which is why I think something like, you know, something, I haven't seen a Fast and the Furious movie in the theater probably since 3, Tokyo Drift maybe, but similar vibes, like, or I remember the very first Mission Impossible movie, or a Star Wars movie, or like any of these event movies. That's why tentpole movies are what they are, right? Like, a crowd's energy does elevate those movies versus the latest indie drama or even a comedy. Like, honestly, like, because there might be something you want to laugh at, but you're like, oh crap, no one else is laughing. Maybe I probably shouldn't laugh because maybe that wasn't an appropriate joke to laugh at. That's an odd edge case, but that can happen.
The crowd gives you anonymity that you are not going to get from your wife. You laugh at the joke that you're not supposed to laugh at in front of your wife. She knows you laughed.
Well, hopefully she's more. Andrew knows from experience. Hopefully she's laughing at the same jokes. But yeah, I understand what you mean.
Yeah. I don't want to talk about Spider-Man Across the Universe too much, because I don't want to give anything away. I think it's a good movie. I'm not alone in this. Like, it is a 96% critic on Rotten Tomatoes and a 94% audience. That's a recipe for doing very well. A lot of these other movies, even when they did well, they're split decision. Like, Super Mario Brothers was 58% critic and 95% audience. The audiences love it, but the critics, like, it's pretty bad.
I'm surprised the audience is that high, because the second time I saw it was with my son's baseball team, because our tournament got rained out. And, like, every parent on the baseball team that came out, they were like, they were basically saying, like, how bad they thought the movie was. And I was like, I don't think it was as good the second time, but, like, I still don't think it was terrible, but, like, they were kind of making it out to be. But so I'm curious where the 96 actually is coming from on that.
95 audience. Yeah, 95. It's obviously, it's people who are on Rotten Tomatoes and choosing to give a review. Right. And it's is it overall positive, or is it overall negative? And only 5% are saying it's overall negative, I think, is what it comes down to. The number of cases where the movies are 90 plus from both critics and audiences, those are obviously going to be the good movies, and they're pretty rare. But I have seen in the theater 3 of them this year, 2023. Spider-Verse, Satsume, which I just mentioned as well, was 96 critics, 98 audience.
Satsume?
Satsume is an anime from the director of Your Name. It's about a young girl who finds a young man walking through her town randomly. He asks for some directions. She gives him the directions. She goes off to school, and then she says, wait a minute. And then she follows him. and gets caught up in a situation where she's basically traveling across all of Japan on a journey, discovering herself and trying to save him, and closing doors. She's closing doors. It's a good movie. Okay. It's got some great music as well.
Like an Andrew movie.
It's a bit of an Andrew movie, but if you like anime, you're probably going to like this movie. It's a very good anime. Now, if you don't like anime, if you don't like Japanese culture, it's nothing there for you. This is one of the reasons why it hasn't done very well in America. It's made like
Japanese people. You won't like this movie.
You racist bastard! Yeah, it's made like 100 million maybe in America, like probably substantially less than that, but it has 260 million worldwide. It did incredibly well in Japan. It's a good movie, and critics love it and audiences love it when they go out to see it. The other one that's 90 plus on both that I saw in the theaters this year was Dungeons and Dragons Honor Among Thieves.
Wow.
90 from the critics, so just barely there, and 93 from the audience. And I agree, it was a good movie. The words I used when I saw it with my wife were, better than it had any right to be. This movie should not have been any good.
So was that a movie that you think benefited from the theater environment?
There was enough spectacle that watching it in the theater was good. And I mentioned to Paul at one point, I think, because you've seen that one as well, and we've talked about this elsewhere, that there was some Marvel-esque Avengers moments where some things happened. I was like, this movie could not have existed unless the Avengers had happened first. And so it stood on those shoulders and did its own thing while still being very good in its own right.
And not to tangent us too much, but yeah, Dungeons & Dragons definitely seems like, and again, you don't have to spoiler or anything, but like particularly like if they picked an actual setting.
Yes.
Like it seems like it could very easily become an MCU situation of like, especially like if you start then going off to other settings and then eventually like have like, some like settings meet. I don't know if that's what Planescape is actually about or something like that, but like you could have because you could have Ravenloft and Forgotten Realms and Dark Sun and Dragonlance and showing all my nerd
hoping for that
showing all my nerd cred here, and then have them all meet in like a I don't know
in Planescape. A new multiverse.
Yeah, like
I will say that they open for that.
If you tell me Drist is in a movie, I will go. Fine, take my money. I will go see it.
Sure. Unfortunately, I don't know that we're going to get there, because even though it was well received by the critics, well received by the audiences, and made a decent amount of money, it's made $208 million. That is only just enough above their budget that they probably won't consider it profitable and will wait a long time before making more, and will probably direct to streaming additional ones if they make them at all, rather than trying the theater out. And it does, as your question pointed to, benefit from that environment in the theater. And I don't know how to feel about that.
I think Paul had the answer. Next movie needs to have Chris Pratt.
They had the wrong Chris.
I
knew they had one of the Chris's. I couldn't remember which Chris. They had Chris
it
Pine.
It wasn't Chris Pratt, because it was Chris Pratt. It would have made $800 million. There you go.
And it was Chris Pine. It wasn't Chris Evans either. He didn't quit. No. He didn't quit.
It was Chris Captain, Pine. It was the Pine.
Captain America. And who's the last one?
He's in a really bad movie this year, too.
Hemsworth. Though,
like. Chris Hemsworth is the fourth Chris, right? Okay. Chris Evans is in a bad movie?
Chris Evans is in a movie that was like one of the worst reviewed movies this year. It's like 54.
Is it with the romantic comedy or whatever?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. I know very little about it. I don't know.
He's going to regret quitting Captain America.
I mean, so is this anything new though? Like, I mean, not to completely poo-poo your point, but I guess the kind of gradual or maybe not so gradual downfall of movie theaters, but like, there's certainly been the case that like really good movies have not made a lot of money, and questionable movies have made a lot of money, and there have been ebbs and flows. Like, you know, comic book movies seem to be a little bit of an ebb right now. Ebb's the bad one, right?
Ebb's the bad one.
in a bit of an ebb. Disney seems to be in a bit of an ebb, and considering the kind of dominance that comic book movies and Disney has had on the movie theaters lately, that leaves a pretty big hole of, you know, what's to replace that. I guess it's Mission Impossible and Top Gun Maverick and
Super Mario Bros. Yeah.
Well, I don't think that this is anything new. This is clearly a continuation of the existing pattern. It's just perhaps gotten a little bit worse due to post-pandemic reticence to go back. The movies, especially that are aimed at people that are older than us, like our parents' generations, they're not going back to the theaters. Like, I cannot get my parents to go back to the theaters. My mom didn't go ever anyway.
My parents never went anyway, yeah.
My father and I used to go to the movies all the time. Very little chance he's going to go to the movies ever again. So something like Indiana Jones, which would be something that would perhaps appeal to him. First of all, he's completely uninterested in this Indiana Jones, perhaps because of the go woke, go broke problems that you were mentioning earlier. Maybe it's overblown. It's not going to be overblown for him. So if you do this with the wrong material, you need to stay true to the source material if you're going to do that. Maybe that's one of the reasons why Indiana Jones is failing. I don't know, but it does seem that nothing has changed except that the perception of the executive producers, the people in Hollywood making these decisions about what movies to make, how to market them, is more off the mark than ever before. They completely failed at marketing a potentially fine movie in this Teenage Kraken thing. Sure, it's not going to be a blockbuster, but they could have made money on it if they just got the right audience to pay attention to it. Dungeons and Dragons maybe could have ton of money if they just advertised it at all. It was pretty well not known what was actually going to be in that movie, so people who had known about Dungeons and Dragons would be thinking back to the earlier Dungeons and Dragons movies and think, those movies were garbage. Why is this one going to be better? What's different this time? Oh, they were true to the source material. They have interesting characters. Well, that makes it more interesting. I will go see it now. And when I did, it was like, I was surprised. Surprised how good it was.
Before, without kind of hindsight to having seen the movie, I wonder if saying being true to the source material of D&D would actually be a selling point in it. Now, I understand we're in a post-MCU, where prior to MCU, I mean, you had pop-ups like Superman and Batman, but like those are like true cultural icons. Like they're barely like comic book icons at this point, right? Because they're just so pervasive. So to me, it would be surprising that a Dungeons and Dragons movie did well at all, because it still seems like it is a very nerdy thing, right? Like you still see Dungeons and Dragons.
But I don't think it's as niche as you think it is. Like, Dungeons & Dragons, especially over the past 10 years, has become something of a cultural thing. People are playing it for their podcasts. People are playing it online. Well, and in groups that are entertaining other people. It's the quintessential group storytelling concept that has already been there.
And that's what Critical Role plays, right?
Exactly.
Dungeons & Dragons. But, like, I just wonder if it's a big... And you guys might be outside in the zeitgeist more than I am. I don't know. But it still seems like... Anecdotally, like, my wife was at the pool, and apparently, like, one of the other moms was like, oh, I can tell you this, because I know you'll understand that, like, the reason my husband isn't here is because he's off playing D&D. And, like, it was, like, a very, like, conspiratorial thing. If I tell anybody else, either they're not going to know what D&D is, or they're going to be, like, judgmental and, like, think that this is, like, why is he such a nerd to be off in D&D? But she knew my wife, and I guess tangentially then knew me, of being, like, yeah, this is okay to tell you that my husband is off playing D&D instead of being at the pool. So I understand your point. Like, yeah, it's more popular than it probably ever has been.
But maybe it's still not popular enough.
Yeah, it's still niche enough and, like, has, I hate to say it, but, like, kind of like a stigma with it. Like, D&D is kind of like the quintessential nerd thing, like, even more than magic. Right,
I'd say
magic. You still have to kind of be in the nerd culture to even know what magic is, really. Besides a couple of headlines here and there about how much like the One Ring card has been just sold for.
I am not going down that path. That is too far from movies.
Yeah,
I want to move towards wrapping up. That I was going to talk more about some of the things in Spider-Verse, but I'll save that for later. Maybe just for us offline. Some of the cool things that I saw in there, like this movie, Spider-Verse was way more subversive than I expected it, and I'll leave it at that. My question for you guys, knowing that the producers of these movies are having a really hard time predicting their box offices because of everything they've been talking about, we have a couple more movies coming out later this month that I want your opinion on.
Okay.
Tell me, will it be a box office success, meaning it makes money, it makes 2.5 times its cost plus, or will it be a flop? Even if it does make money, it's not enough to recoup. Even if it gets good cultural, some good critical reviews, and maybe even nominations for Oscars or something like that.
So this is purely box office, not
box office right
DVDs,
now.
DVDs, streaming, anything like that. This is box office. Okay.
Box office.
Are you going to be keeping track of the score?
No, this is just, feel it out right now.
We're going to
come Fine, back. I'll take it. We'll I'm going to write it down and we'll come back here. Fine, I'm writing
We'll come back in 6 months and see who won.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we've done points before. And yeah, it didn't matter.
The COVID podcast. I think Andrew lost.
Pretty sure I won.
One of you said under a million deaths and was clearly wrong.
It was under 250,000 by the first year.
Okay.
We'll have to go back.
Anyway, we're off movies again. Right. All right, give us the movies.
Barbie.
Under.
With the acknowledgement to start that it has been banned in Vietnam because there is a scene where the map of the world is shown and China is claiming the South China Sea and infringing on Vietnam's territory. So Vietnam is like, no, you can't show this movie in our country.
Yeah, I don't know who wants to see this movie.
Paul already said under, yeah, and as much as I like Margaret Robbie, I'll still say this is under. It looks terrible.
Yeah, she's the anti-Chris Pratt, by the way. Like, she's been in so many movies
should
be, like, successes, and they've all failed.
She kind of made Harley Quinn a cultural icon, but didn't help the movies Harley Quinn was in.
I am right there with you guys. Like, this movie is stupid. Who wants to go see this movie?
And I don't know who it appeals to, because, like, in the theater, like, it's been in front of, I think, both times we've seen Mario, and, like, there'll be jokes, and I think the adults are all like, wait, what? And the kids are like, I don't get it. It's like, who is this movie even for, then? Like,
I do not know who it's for. And yet, there is something here where it has hit on some sort of the zeitgeist, and my only concern for it not being a blockbuster and making back both its money and being a pretty big hit is this thing with China. Because of what we've seen with China being so important for the box office. I think this makes much more money than anybody expects it to right now.
But not enough to meet your criteria.
I don't know what people expect it to make, but I just don't think it's going to be a success.
Yeah, and I'll actually agree with Paul. Paul makes a good point about Margaret Robbie, kind of, as much as I love her. Although, to be fair, I've actually never seen her movies. I just kind of, like, love her by osmosis.
So you're part of the problem.
Yeah, all right, yes, movie number two. This is my last one for you guys. How do you feel about Oppenheimer?
That's a tough one.
I think I saw a trailer.
I'm going to say probably not a success.
Remind me of this one since I
So this is Chris Nolan's biopic about Robert Oppenheimer.
Robert Oppenheimer. Murphy.
Played by Cillian Murphy.
Oh, Cillian. Yeah, that's right. I just found out yesterday that's how you pronounce the name.
Wait, Cillian. It's Cillian?
It's Cillian.
Apparently.
The guy who played Scarecrow is Cillian.
Yes, Cillian.
Okay.
Yes. According to... Yeah, yeah. Sorry.
But it's about... it's about the Manhattan Project?
It's essentially... It's
depressing as all hell, is what I've heard.
It is intense. I have not seen it, of course, and I don't have a lot, but it is apparently incredibly intense and will work people over emotionally. It's also really long. It's like three plus hours long. But it's Christopher Nolan.
Yeah, but this is where if I did any research on this beforehand, I'd have to look like... How well has Christopher Nolan done since Batman?
Like, Inception was freaking huge.
Inception was before or after?
After.
Okay. It was? Or was it guaranteed. During?
If I'm wrong, you tear me apart.
I want to feel like that was somehow between Dark Knight
It may
Dark
have been Knight between Rises. Batman, but it's after the first Batman, for sure.
Inception was 2010.
That was actually... Wasn't that before Dark Knight, then?
The Dark Knight was 2008.
Oh, Dark Knight was 2008. Batman Begins was even earlier. Okay, so it was between Dark Knight and Dark Knight Rises.
Dark Knight Rises was 2012, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So that makes sense. We got there.
Okay, but
and all those, except for perhaps Dark Knight Rises. Since
Inception, I feel like it's been a downward curve for Christopher Nolan anyway. In terms, like, I don't know, I have no idea how well Tenet did or Dunkirk did or any of these other movies did.
Didn't he do Interstellar also?
He did do Interstellar.
Yeah, I feel like Interstellar sounds like the right comp to me. Like, probably critically acclaimed, probably the people who see it love it, but not a lot of people.
Yeah,
see
I feel
it.
Like this is a critics movie, not an audience movie.
I think you guys have pretty much hit the nail on the head. I'm ridiculously excited for this movie. I am disappointed that I will not have a movie buddy for this particular movie because no one wants to go see it with me. But I will go see this movie in the theaters. This will be the fourth movie I see in the theaters this year, which is incredible from where we were. And I'm expecting it to be amazing. And I'm expecting it to be a practically empty theater. It's not going to make much money. No one wants to sit for 3 hours and watch a depressing movie, even if it's not necessarily depressing, about J. Robert Oppenheimer and his atomic bomb. No matter how cool it may be, it will get at least 3 Oscar nominations, and it will bomb.
And that seems... I see what you did there. I feel like that might be a movie that, like, I won't. But I feel like that, especially when you say 3 hours, like, I'm like, all right, that's a movie I'm seeing at home. Like, there's no way I'm sitting through three hours in a movie
theater. That is a good question. Like, we were talking earlier, what is the compelling reason to go see the movie in the theater? This is, calling this one a spectacle is going to be hard. I don't know if it will be a spectacle, but if you have that emotional weight, experiencing that emotional weight as part of the crowd could be compelling.
But you just said there's not going to be a crowd. So cute. Yeah, that. Therefore, you lose that part. Like, because, like, yeah, I'm thinking, like, okay, if there's, like, but even if there's, like, a scene of, like, a mushroom cloud, like, I've seen mushroom clouds, right? Like, that's not going to be the spectacle it needs to be. I mean, sure, it's Nolan. He can probably maybe
pull off. He will make it amazing.
He'll pull off something, but worth sitting through 3 hours in a theater?
Yeah, so,
I don't know. I can't shrug on audio, sorry.
There's a Ladybug and Cat Noir movie coming out?
Well, that's changed the tone.
That certainly was.
Sorry, I was disappointed by the only two of them, and so I'm trying to see if there's anything else.
Well, so I forwarded this to Paul, an email from Netflix, so I didn't forward it to Andrew because I know you don't have Netflix, correct?
I have not had Netflix for like a decade.
So you probably have no idea what this movie is. Paul might. And this will date this podcast, but the movie Nimona just came out. I think this past weekend. And I actually was trying to watch something else on Netflix, and then Netflix bug glitched out, and so I had to restart my Roku. So then I was like, and then by that point, the kids had come downstairs like, well, I'm not watching that now. So I was like, hey, here's an animated movie. It's like number 3 in the country. I think I've heard of this. Let's watch it. I actually meant to turn on something else in retrospect, but I'm glad we turned on this one. But Paul, you said something about like woke or broke or something like that.
Go woke, go broke.
Go woke, go broke. I'm interested. I'm interested how this movie is doing because, like, this isn't really a spoiler because it happens like the first 5 minutes. Like, it's in a fantasy setting, actually fantasy but future. They're flying cars and stuff. But there's still knights using swords. There you go. It's Star Wars. But the two main characters are knights and they're gay. And, like, it's one of those things where it's like, I can see that actually instantly turning off a whole swath of audience that might otherwise like this movie. And, like,
same audience probably loved Troy.
Like, was it...
Just saying.
But it's one of those things where, like, I don't have a problem with it. And, like, you know, I kind of be like, well, like, it's a, you know, sure, it's exposing my kids to, like, other lifestyles for better or worse, if you want to take it that way. But I'm also, like... I also know people that would be like, well, I'm out, like, when that happens. Like, I don't want to throw those friends under the bus, but, like, that they would instantly be out. And then they would miss out on, like, the actual theme of the movie, which is actually about suicide ideation, right? Like, that's actually what the movie is actually about, to the point where, like, at the end, I turn to my kids and it's like, all right, so if you ever hear your friends say they would want somebody to run a sword through their heart, make sure they get help. I mean, like, the movie makes that clear, too. But, like, be like, all right, I'm going to reinforce the moral of this story, which was not the two guys kissing at the end of the movie. Like, it's this girl who was basically trying to attempt, like, very spectacular in fantasy sci-fi form suicide. But that's also a movie where, like, that wasn't even in theaters, right? That was straight to Netflix. So a lot of the movies that would have been coming... So I'm trying to drag it back to your point. A lot of the movies that would have gone to theater are just going straight to these streaming services.
Paul, did you find another movie? Because I have one if you didn't.
Well, I have an interesting one that I'm curious your take on. Okay. Sound of Freedom. Have you heard of it?
I have heard a little bit about it. I'm interested in finding more. It feels a little bit too QAnon for me, but I'll give it a shot.
Okay. Yeah, I know very little about it other than the fact that I've heard a lot of rumblings that it could be one of those I don't want to say on the same scale, but kind of a Passion of the Christ kind of things, right?
Yeah, it's going to be like underground for quite a while and make a lot of money.
Yeah, like it's going to have a very narrow targeted audience that is going to be super into it, and you're never going to hear about it on like the news or, you know, Roger Ebert or whatever the show is now, but like it'll end up making a crap ton of money because
it will make a ton of money. And I will absolutely watch it just to make sure I'm not giving it an unfair shake, but I have a very firm suspicion that that is in fact what it is.
So also apparently though, by Andrew's criteria, because I just quickly Googled it, by your criteria, Andrew, it only has to make $30 million.
Oh yeah, that's probably made that already.
It cost 14.5, so yeah, it doesn't have to make much money to earn 2.5.
The fact that we have heard about it and are talking about it means it's going to make that much money.
For Sound of Freedom, you're saying?
Yes.
And another one I'll throw out there.
I will say it's probably going to be $200 million plus.
Sounds reasonable. How big in China, though? No. another one completely opposite is the Blue Beetle movie, which you may not have even heard of, but it is, I think, notable because I believe it's the first thing under James Gunn's new direction for DC. I'm not sure how much input he's had into it. Maybe I'm wrong about that, but obviously DC movies have had a very rocky go of it lately. Like, they have not quite benefited from the same comic book movie boom, and there's been a lot of fighting between the Zack Snyder fans and the, you know, a lot of turmoil and the whole Batgirl movie that got completely canned and like literally like deleted from the world. I don't know, that looks like it's gonna bomb just as hard, but
how has Shazam done?
Terrible.
The second one did not do well
because it looks like kind of a similar, so because my initial reaction when I first saw the trailer for Blue Beetle, well first of all, like, it kind of was dawning on me over and over, and I was like wait, that's the kid from Cobra Kai, isn't it? I don't know if you guys have seen Cobra Kai, but like, yeah, that is like the main character on Cobra Kai is actually the guy's from, is Johnny from Karate Kid, but like his protege is the main character, is the Blue Beetle. But then like being like, wait, I think this is Blue Beetle, but what the hell? People don't read comics know who Blue Beetle is? What the hell is going on? Like,
well, nobody knew who the Guardians of the Galaxy were before.
Yeah, I guess. But then my initial reaction is like, oh, like, this feels like DC's attempt at making, initially I said Deadpool, but then I was like, no, a better comparison is actually, this is they're trying to make their version of Spider-Man, is what it felt a lot like a Spider-Man movie and like the quips.
But they have Static if they want to do Spider-Man.
I mean, Blue Beetle, like, I haven't read, I've read Blue Beetle in like crossover events, so I've probably never actually read a Blue Beetle, and I might conflate him somewhat with Booster Gold. Man, I'm really showing my nerd credit card tonight. But like, I don't know. Like, yeah, I see it kind of falling in, unfortunately, into the same crevice that like Shazam has fallen into, where like they're trying, but you literally have Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman there. Like,
how you can't make it work for some reason.
How are you screwing this up? Like, seriously. Like, you say like not many people know like who. Well, you said not many people know Blue Beetle. I don't know who you said they didn't know, but like,
I said if you wanted to make a Spider-Man in the DC universe, you don't need Blue Beetle. You have Static.
Okay, but like, how many? Like, I know he had his own cartoon, I think, right?
He had his cartoon for a little while, but even more importantly, if you have you're watching Marvel have all the success with Miles Morales Spider-Man, why the hell aren't you doing Static?
But also, like, to be fair, like, Iron Man was technically a B if not C level character before Robert Downey Jr. He had something big things. I guess he was a big thing in Civil War and all that. Like, but like, he wasn't the X-Men. He wasn't Spider-Man.
No, they'd already sold off. They had sold off the good stuff. X-Men went to Fox.
Thor was a B or C character before Chris Hemsworth came along. Like, I mean, like they made magic out of these characters. That like the A-list characters were like X-Men, Hulk, and Spider-Man, and like Hulk bombed and bombed and bombed.
Right, and they made the Thor movie, and it's like, X-Men was like locked, actually not trash. Incredible.
And then X-Men and Spider-Man were locked in Sony purgatory for so long.
And Fox.
And still will be. Spider-Man is still in Sony purgatory because they are going to continue to make these Spider-Verse movies as long as they can, it seems. Yeah.
But like, it just astounds me that you have the characters that were on like every kid's underoos in the 80s, and you can't make it, you can't figure out how to make a Superman or a Batman or a Wonder Woman movie that doesn't have to involve darkness and like fighting each other and like seriously, like I don't know.
It's not the zeitgeist right now.
But Dark Knight's like one of the darkest movies that you can come up with. Just I don't know, even do that again or something. Bring back Christopher Nolan.
Yeah. Chris, save us.
We will let you
do as many Oppenheimers as you want. Just give us more Batman.
Bruce Wayne creates a nuclear bomb.
Or like, gosh, then you have to resort to like bringing back Michael Keaton as Batman in a cameo in a Flash movie to try to sell the Flash movie. Like,
bombed.
Come on. Like, Flash should have done... Flash has its own problems, I know. The actor.
That particular Flash, yes.
Yeah.
All right. We'll roll us out on one more. The one that I promised you, Paul. This is a little further afield, but coming in November, we get Dune Part 2.
I don't understand the appeal of Dune, to be quite honest.
Is this actually they broke the first Dune book into two parts?
Yep.
Okay, because there are more books in the Dune
series. Oh, yeah. No,
this is not the next book.
This is Dune Part 2. This is not Dune Messiah.
Now, is this... I'm sorry to keep talking over that, but like, is this the second half?
Second half of the first three? Book. Okay. The director has said he's interested in doing more, but the first two movies are the first book, and he's going to probably go Dune Messiah next.
Correct. The first two books. Okay, so it's going to finish the first book. All right.
Correct.
All right. Paul asked, "What's the appeal?"
Well, I also don't. How did the first movie do? Because here's what I'm struggling with. I would be surprised if the first movie did well enough to warrant a sequel. And the fact that it apparently did makes me rethink that maybe the second movie will do okay, but...
I don't have the numbers on me because this is not one of my plans things. My understanding is it did quite well. Really, really well.
There's some character in the second one that people are super excited to see, or some actress or something that people are excited to see that, like, had a cameo in the first one.
Isn't it?
I don't know. I'm not nearly familiar enough with Dune. I read the book over 10 years ago.
I guess I'll say bust if I have to pick between bust and smashing success, but I feel the least confident about that one.
This also feels like how much did it cost? Because that feels like it's a high
budget. It's an expensive
movie. Feels like it's a high budget movie. So to meet your threshold of 2.5 times the budget, that seems to be the sticking point for me.
I will say I think it does it. And it's not particularly close. I think it does it by a fair amount.
I'm maybe not as confident as Andrew, but I would say yes. Because, I mean, like, just in the world of board games, I mean, there was a new Dune board game.
Boring game.
That, like, has, like, quickly shot up the charts of, like, best games of all time. And, like, you're like, wait, what? Like, and there's already a Dune game that was very popular, but, like, this one has... Like,
I think there was a new one that was a reprint of the old one, and that...
This is actually a new mechanics?
Game.
Yeah, like, is it deck build? I think it's deck building is in there, and somehow, so it has to at least have been invented after 2008, because deck building wasn't, quote-unquote, invented until 2008.
Not like that as a mechanic. It was enhanced.
Yeah, but, yeah, plus it just seems like, yeah, that's one of those where... The nerds shall inherit, or the geeks shall inherit the earth, right? I mean,
yeah. That'll be number five for me this year, so there you go. Like Dune, they're getting my money.
I didn't see the first one, although you don't have Rockstar Sting, so I don't know how it's doing any money.
But you will have Fade. Fade is coming.
Sure. Wait, and is Zendaya actually in it? Was that a joke?
Yes.
Fall? Okay.
No.
Was she in the first one?
Yes.
I believe so, okay. Yeah.
Then maybe that's just what I'm thinking of.
I mean, she didn't have a big part, but she had a big enough part.
They have big Gurney names in it, back. So it could be any number of people.
Yeah, so maybe her part's going to be get bigger.
Her part will be much bigger, yes.
Yeah, okay. I don't know.
Go ahead.
Well, and also, like, I don't know. It has a built-in catchphrase, right? It has the whole, like, I shall not fear something or other.
That is...
I thought it was like the spice flow or something like that.
No. There's... this is where I lose my nerd cred.
don't David Lynch this.
Isn't it like "May the spice be with you"?
I'm pretty sure
one,
it's
one yeah, spice to rule them all, and in the darkness bind them.
there is a mantra that the Bene Gesserit have, and Paul recites. So that's what you're getting to. But there are a number of elements that in David Lynch's version of Dune, which, by the way, I like. It's not necessarily a popular opinion. It's not true of the books, but it's highly enjoyable if you watch it like five times to figure out what the hell's going on.
Typical Andrew movie. I like this movie. If you can understand it if you watch it five times.
No, I was going to say typical David Lynch movie then.
Yeah, that too. But I really would like to see Jodorowsky's Dune. That will never happen. He's dead, of course. But what we have now is spectacular and true to the books and quite good. And it's been a great ride. And I look forward to it because my middle daughter, I mentioned the other two, went with me to go see Spider-Verse. She will come with me to go see Dune. She watched the first Dune with me at home in the home theater and was absolutely enthralled. And I look forward to part two.
So I just want to give a public service. I know you said you didn't want to discuss any spoilers with Across the Spider-Verse. I saw it with my wife, and at the very end, she turned to me and said, "Did you know that this was a two-parter?"
Yes.
Because she did not know going into it.
Oh, and so, well, yeah,
don't expect closure first movie because it is a two-parter.
This is very much the Empire Strikes Back, only more aggressive in its cliffhanger.
Oh, yeah, no, it's...
There is
Empire Strikes Back has, like, kind of... It's almost a separate movie, you know?
Yeah.
But this one is... No,
it is the
like
first half of a movie.
But say, Empire Strikes Back...
It's like Deathly Hallows 1.
Yeah, Empire has just enough closure where you're like, all right, I am satisfied.
This does not have that. You will not leave the theater satisfied if you expected the movie.
Gosh, you said Deathly Hallows. I was so pissed off at the whole Deathly Hallows thing. I don't even remember how the first one ended.
I believe it ended with the burial, if I recall correctly.
I won't even ask of who, because I don't remember the seventh book at all. But anyway,
okay.
That's old news.
Yeah, that's old, like the people like us. Old news.
Old, like that movie came out 10 years ago.
Probably more than
that.
I don't know off the top of my head. A long time ago. We are old, guys.
Deathly Hallows Part 2, 2011.
12 years.
12 years ago. There you go.
Yeah. Not too much more than a decade.
More than 10.
More than 10.
You 20%.
You got me.
20% more than 10.
So it sounds like in November, we're going to have to check back and see how Dune 2 did, because that's really the only one we disagreed on.
So we'll have to check back in like January. Stay tuned.
Give it a couple of weeks after. It'll be pretty obvious pretty fast, I think. You make so much of your money in the first 2 or 3 weeks.
All right. Any other movie topics to tackle, or are we done?
I will throw one very quick question. This one's only for Paul because Travis hasn't seen the movie. Best Spider-Man in Across the Universe.
Across the Spider-Verse.
Yes. Spider-Gwen.
Oh, man. I'm going to have to think about this for 3 minutes. Let's see.
It is tough. There's a lot of good choices.
There are so many. Gosh. There's so many. I think I'll probably stick with Spider-Man Noir still.
But he, like, is in it for this.
I know. But he. Well,
all right. I love Spider-Man Noir, so I can't.
Spider-Ham back?
Also, very, very small part.
Okay. Like, I don't know if he was in. Like, I don't know if he was in rehab when they made the movie or not.
They're basically, like, not in the movie.
Yeah, they're effectively not in the movie. They have a whole bunch of other Spider-Men.
Yeah.
But they do appear like they're going to be back in the third, presuming that they actually get the third one finished. Which they may not get done nearly on time. It's supposed to come out in March, and they're like,
some issue with the animators, too.
There's a lot of work to be done.
Yeah. No, I'm sure there's a better answer. I'm blanking on, like...
My answer, which I suspect you'll disagree with, so maybe we'll come back to this at some other point, is that it is Hobart Brown.
Is he the Spider-Punk?
Spider-Punk.
I really hated him at first because I could not understand a single damn thing he was saying.
That's not why you hate him. I mean, that may be why you hate him, but not why you should hate him.
You should
hate him because he's a terrible person, but he's not.
I mean, I don't think he's... Well, we can talk about it later. Yeah. I don't necessarily think he's a terrible person. I appreciate his, like, peace out.
It was some good scene. Stuff.
Yeah. All right, on that note... Travis, see you Across the Spider-Verse so we can talk about it next time.
Have homework. All right.
Yes, you have homework. Thank you all for joining us, and can't stop the Discord.